Okay, people, I'm going to say a few things just to sort of set the scene for this before we sort of move into what we're actually doing. Partly because I just wanted to sort of place it in the context a little bit of what we're doing. So we spend a bit of time looking at the general principle of conditionality, and that's why I quite like doing the chant as well. It kind of reminds us, doesn't it? It reminds us of the backdrop of conditionality. Sometimes when there's quite a lot of conceptual material, so I can get a bit lost in the bits and bobs, and actually what we're trying to do is connect with this principle and how this principle sort of unfolds. So yeah, we've looked at quite a lot of stuff. Yeah, we looked at quite a lot of detail. And towards the end of the session this morning, Divan introduced the five khandhas. Unfortunately, they're all things that we've now talked about. Yeah. So, because one thing I don't want to do is to get caught up in the definition, you know. Because the definitions of some of these things are a bit complex, and they can, you know, you can get a bit wrapped up in, you know, what exactly is what. And the purpose of what I want to do with us this afternoon is really to get more of a sense of the experiential flavour of how this works. Yes, yeah, so I'm going to be more interested in sort of finding or helping direct us towards things in our experience that we can actually kind of work with than in trying to be sort of analytically comprehensive, you know, if you see what I mean. The Buddha says that, you know, our experience can be resolved into these five khandhas, so we're just going to take that for granted that it can. And for the point of view of this as a little exercise, you know, what we're actually doing is just looking at our experience. So that's the first one. One of the first things to say is we're not trying to create these experiences. We're just observing them. So we're not trying to do anything special here apart from just look at our experience. And so it may even be that you don't want to think of this as a meditative reflection. Yeah? It may even be that just thinking in terms of that actually is going to initially overcomplicate the matter. We can just sit here. Yeah? We can just sit here nice and relaxed with our experience, which we can't avoid, and I'm going to just sort of describe a few pointers that might help us sort of get a sense of what the Buddha's talking about when he breaks down our experience into these five elements. So we're not going to be comprehensive, we're going to try and be experiential. Often this analysis, when it's talked about, the element of impermanence is often drawn in, and particularly the element of not self. I might mention that a bit, but I'm not particularly going to focus on that stuff in this. I'm more interested in getting the feeling of something rather than, because this is often presented as an insight reflection, you know, it's a reflection that can be used to sort of really unpick the way we think of ourselves in quite some detail. But you know, our main emphasis here is going to be, is really about how we can we get a feeling for conditionality. You know, can we get a feeling for how conditionality can be worked out and understood? So that's what we're about. So the five khandhas are rupa or form, vedana or feeling, samnya, you know, perception, recognition, that kind of thing. Sankhara, which we've mostly been talking about as formations, but also sometimes the word volition is used. So again, for the point of view of this exercise, I'm going to be more volitional in the interpretation because it's easier to know what that means experientially than formations. And consciousness. So it's all stuff we've talked about. Yeah. So, yeah, rupa. So I'm just going to talk us into this. So for the purposes of this, I'm just suggesting that we think about rupa for the sake of ease as materiality, material form. And I'm going to suggest we think of it as our tactile experience of our own material form, at least to start us off. So if you want, you can do that. Touch yourself. Yeah? Squeeze your legs if you want. Yeah, actually, you know, just feel your body. So through the sense of touch in this way, we can get a sense of some kind of thing that we call solidity, some kind of sense of an object. Or through your weight, you know, you can feel there's something in that you touch, basically just getting the sense of touch in your body. So what I'd like to do with that, just when you're touching yourself or when you're feeling your weight or feeling that sense of a physical body, just be aware of the distinction between the sense of touch and your idea of your body. Yeah. See if you can just always come back to what it actually feels like, rather than any ideas you might have, any labels you might have. So as you feel your legs, just stay with that sense of slightly firm but slightly squidginess. So we're just trying to contact rupa, just trying to make contact with rupa. Through the sense of touch specifically. Through what's with a sense of what's sometimes called direct experience. By moving a little bit, by actually feeling your body, you just sort of stimulate a little bit more touch sense data. Yeah. Gives you a bit more to go on. So just being aware that obviously rupa can also be experienced through all of the senses. So the sound sense data is also rupa. But the one we're choosing to bring our attention to is materiality through touch. So as we know, all sense experience has an association with it, Vedana, feeling tone. So as you touch your body, or as you feel the sense of your body, if you're not actively physically moving, or as you get that sense of the feelings within your body, sorry, the sense data, just notice if it is at all pleasant or painful in any way. You might notice, for instance, that there's parts of your body that are a little bit uncomfortable. So there's a slight tone of discomfort associated with the sense of physical form. You might have found as you touched parts of your body that some of it was actually quite pleasurable. So just notice if there's any sense of Vedana, feeling tone, arising in association. So maybe draw your attention to somewhere in your body that where the Vedana doesn't feel very strong. You can feel, you know, you've got a sense of touch. You can feel part of your experience. You touch something. But the Vedana isn't very strong. And just see if you bring your attention to it. Does it become apparent that there is either a subtly pleasant or a subtly unpleasant? Or is it truly neutral? So we're not trying to do anything special here. We're not trying to meditate even. We're just being aware as our consciousness directs our attention around our body. We're just being aware that where we experience materiality, form, in whatever way, that often is, well, there always is, some kind of Vedana, some kind of feeling tone. So allow your mind to move. Allow your mind to move. Maybe your ankles, there's a bit of stretch. What's the Vedana in association with that? In a way, just allow your mind to be captured by different elements of your experience. And just see what the Vedana quality is that's in association with that experience. So the next of the khandhas in the list is sunya, perception, recognition, or labelling. So we can just notice the extent to which we're already doing this. My ankle feels mildly uncomfortable. Mild, unpleasant Vedana. To the extent to which I'm noticing, to the extent to which I'm using labelling. Yeah, so just notice if you're using labelling, if there's labelling coming in to your experience. So try and notice if the label is attached instantly. Or try and notice if there's a gap between becoming aware of a particular element of your experience and then some kind of recognition process that adds a label to that. Of course, it doesn't need to be a conceptual label. Labeling is quite a specific word. It can also just be some sort of clarity of object that arises. There's a distinction between just being aware of the experience and then the mind doing something else that kind of brings that experience into a particular kind of focus. So is there samya without an object? Or is samya conditioned by our experience? It arises out of us having experience. It's a conditioned phenomena. It's conditioned by the present experience and by our past experience. Maybe it's also conditioned by the Vedana that's there. If there's an unpleasant Vedana, is the recognition process tainted by that quality? Just notice how this works. If you can't see it, don't worry too much about it. But just be open to what's happening. Sense data in association with sense data, feeling tone. And in association with the two of those, some kind of labelling process, some kind of recognition. So a little experiment with sanya. If you say to yourself, breath in the body, breath in the body. Just notice if that helps the attention rest on the breath in the body. If recognition supports attention. if you find some part of your experience which is maybe a bit uncomfortable. I nearly always have slightly uncomfortable ankles when I meditate. So I might say to myself, painful ankles, painful ankles. Just see what effect that sort of labelling has on my experience, on your experience. So Sanya has the capacity to condition our experience of Rupa. So Sankhara is the fourth element. I think for ease of trying to get a sense of this in an exercise like this, I'm going to talk about it in terms of volition, or the impulse. It's almost as if there's momentums within our being. Might be a desire to move, might be that simple. If your body is feeling a little bit uncomfortable, you might experience the desire to move. That has an element of volition in it. Might be rather bored of this exercise and find that your mind has created something more interesting to do. So just observe that maybe there's a momentum taking place there, a momentum of the mind. Sankhara is active. So just to illustrate the point, think of something that you're looking forward to or you like. Just imagine something you're looking forward to. Just something quite simple. Probably it's quite easy to conjure up a mental image of the thing you're looking forward to. Rupa. Presumably, it's pleasurable. So the Vedana quality. Imaginations are usually quite good with things we're looking forward to. They're usually quite tangible, quite strong. The imagery is usually quite clear. So some kind of recognition is probably going on. Whether it's a simple object recognition, or whether you've created words to apply to the thing you're looking forward to. Conditioned by the arising of the image, conditioned by the sense of pleasure associated with it. And probably giving a certain directionality of mind. So the rupa and the vedana qualities are reinforced. This process has direction. It has a volitional momentum. Sankara is active. In fact, the whole thing was conditioned by Sankara in the first place. So would it be possible for any of this to be experienced if it wasn't for consciousness. So consciousness is present. In fact, consciousness simply both supports all of this experience and arises out of it. Without consciousness, no experience. Without experience, nothing to be conscious of. So we can just relax, let go of any effort we've been making, let go of any particular ideas about meditation or reflection, and just experience the flow, experience the unfolding of our beings. Having spent the time to break down our experience, we might just find a little bit more sense of the flow of conditionality that we call ourselves. So let's just see if we can just be open to that, be open to the flow, the unfoldment that I call me. Just relaxed and open. just notice any tendency to close down around part of our experience, to cling to or attach to any particular element. Relax. So as different experiences become dominant in our minds, maybe just pay a bit of attention, become interested in them, and pay a bit of attention to the conditioning elements that support those experiences. Surveyed those conditioning elements, you can again come back just being relaxed and open. The never-ending unfoldment of me continues. for the difference between the Buddha's experience and our experience is not the existence or non-existence of the five khandhas. It's that we cling to them. We attach to them and identify with them. We, if you like, abstract a sense of self from the flow of experience. Whilst the Buddha is free from such clinging. So I'm going to ring the bell in a few seconds, and what I suggest is, as we sort of, I wouldn't say stop meditating because we weren't supposed to have started, but as we sort of come out of this period, just see if there's any sense of that spaciousness or sense of flow that we can just carry on being with for the next wee while as we wander out into the gardens or down the road or down to the lock shore or whatever it is that we're going to do. Just see any sense of openness to that sense of flow, to the arising and falling of conditions.